You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. For the last decade, St. George's Park has been the home of English football. The state-of-the-art facility has led to success on and off the pitch, which has been marked by a day of celebration for the 10-year anniversary. Catherine Gilby is the head of para performance for the English FA, and she joins me now. Thanks for speaking to us today, Kath.
Hi, Harold. Thanks for having me.
And today's been about celebrating the St. George's Park site. What role do you think the facility has played in the success of English football?
I mean, for anyone that's been here just has to have a look around or have a wander around and imagine the facilities around them. What it gives us is a platform to achieve real high levels of performance, prepare our players in the best possible way to ultimately, I suppose, on the international scene, be able to achieve their and our ambition of being on that podium.
And the president of the FA, His Royal Highness Prince William, was in attendance today and he opened St. George's Park in 2012. Did he seem pleased to be back?
Very much so. Very interested in all of the groups that we had in today. Very keen to understand, I suppose, what St. George's can offer aside from just supporting the England teams, which it has an extensive remit in terms of bringing in clubs and players from a number of different spheres of life. So we were very lucky today. He spent some time with the Deaf Men's squad. So we had 8 players from our senior squad there. And the other para discipline represented today was power chair. So we were really fortunate that he spent time with both groups of players, really understanding, I suppose, the demands of the game and the demands from the players, you know, a real affiliation with what their journey has been.
And can you tell us about some of the celebrations that have been happening today?
Yeah, so it's really lovely, isn't it, to be able to come together as a staffing group and celebrate something as monumental as this. I spoke to a few members of staff today who almost can't believe 10 years has passed, to be honest. But to be able to showcase, I think, some of our senior teams, as well as, you know, we had a children's tournament going on, we had Street Child United in, you know, it's just a really great celebration of where we are. So we had some time with the Prince, we've had a team photo with the Prince, we've also got some celebrations this afternoon of people talking about their experiences over the last 10 years. So really a day of celebration, really looking at the impact that we've had, I suppose, not just locally, but wider than that.
Now, the men's blindside are well established as one of the world's top teams, and the England women's blindside were launched earlier this year. What sort of progression have you seen in the squad so far?
We're in a really exciting time for both squads, actually. We've just recently appointed a new head coach for the men's blind team and really moving forward to a new performance model, which really creates more opportunity for them to compete together. So our top players competing together against really tough opposition in order to prepare for competition. So I'd say for them, they're on a real trajectory to potential success at the World Games next summer. Obviously, our women's team, again, we've just appointed a new head coach, and they're at the very start, I would say, of their developmental journey. But what we are excited about is they're now having camps alongside the blind men's team. So you think of all of that learning we can get from those experienced male players to share and impart with the female players that are really just starting on their journey. So what we've been able to do here at St. George's Park is host both teams together, provide that training opportunity, not where they're training in the same time, they're obviously at different levels, but the social engagement and the shared learning, you know, is invaluable really for both squads.
And you mentioned the World Games next year. How is the feeling in both of the camps ahead of Birmingham 2023?
Obviously, the men have huge aspirations for qualifying for Paris 2024 Paralympic Games, and that being the final opportunity to do so. So for them, that's the pinnacle. That's what they're striving to achieve major success at next summer. So they're really keen for the season ahead. We've got a new performance programme that, like I said, provides more competitive opportunities, gets them out, gets them travelling, gets them into Europe playing club teams that are really going to challenge them to move forward. The women's team are equally excited, probably for a number of other reasons. That'll be their first major tournament as a team. There'll be a real opportunity to, I suppose, determine and establish what the other teams around the world are like, what, you know, who we're looking out for, and really, I suppose, hone in on what it's going to take to win for that female development team further down the line.
And how do you think that para sports and para athletes in particular have an impact on the fans who are cheering them on from home?
It's almost you can't describe it. I think the impact we can have is immeasurable, really. Not only does it inspire the next generation of players that want to pull on an England shirt when they see someone with a disability like them achieving success? They want to get out on that pitch and give it a go. But the other big thing for us as a para football programme across all our impairment groups is we feel we have a bigger cause. As well as the sport itself and achieving podium success, we really want to impact society. So we believe there's a greater drive for us to impact, getting people active, really promoting sport and exercise as a really positive step for anyone with an impairment, but really trying to challenge the norms of whether it's equitable access or equitable opportunity for anyone with an impairment. We believe it's our duty to help put that on, you know, on the map and really get people working towards that.
And what sort of impact do you think the FA's Football Your Way project has had on the game so far?
I mean, it's been a game changer in the world of Paralympic sport and para football in particular. You know, people are talking about it for not the first time, but with real earnest and real passion about where we can take this. We've actually got a celebration next week, 1 year into the Football Your Way plan, which, again, if you think about the last 12 months and perhaps the exposure, the awareness, the performances we've had alongside that, it really feels like we're on the crest of a wave, gathering a bit of momentum, where if we can just keep that going, keep channeling it, I feel like we're going to really realise, I suppose, what the aims of that Football Your Way plan were. You know, when Sue was writing that all those months ago, she had this vision, and I feel like we're getting towards a place where elements of that are starting to be realised. And that's just a really positive and exciting place to be in the world of para football.
And the FA is always looking for ways to encourage people to take up blind football. What would you say to someone listening who maybe hasn't thought about trying the sport before?
I think it's take the plunge. There's a great domestic league, and there's a great setup of clubs that you can access just to have taster sessions. There's also great information on the England FA website, which can help give you a little breakdown of perhaps how to get started. I realise, you know, if it might be a bit of a leap of faith for you, or you might lack a bit of confidence at the moment to do it, but take a look at some of our players that are out there and hear what they've got to say about what blind football has done for them. Not only does it develop you as a person, it ultimately could give you an opportunity to pull on that England shirt and represent your country.
It's a fantastic celebration of 10 years of success at St George's Park. What would you like to see happen over the next 10 years?
Well, I think the progress that the women's game has made is a bit of a template for us. Don't get me wrong, I think there are some real unique aspects of para that we need to really be considerate of, but I'd really like to see it, you know, in as many homes in terms of watching it, listening to it on the television as possible, really developing a following of spectators that are really passionate about whether it's all formats of the game or they get behind a particular team. I think we've got great partners that we work with at the FA that are really pushing the envelope in terms of getting it on mainstream television. The FA Disability Cup is a great example of that. They're really engaging with us to take that next step, really push it out there. And I think for me, if in 10 years we could be having, I suppose, footage captured and shared worldwide at our international tournaments, we've got players that are able to perhaps step away from full-time work and be able to work part-time to then be able to pull on their England shirt, that for me would be, you know, a place that would be really worthy of celebration.
Lots more successes to look forward to in the future. Catherine Gilby, Head of Para Performance for the English FA, thanks for speaking to us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much.